Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Welcome to the first MLL podcast, Inside Lacrosse. I'm Kyle Devitt. This is Chris Rosenthal joining us this year. Terry Floyd couldn't be with us. He retired from the podcast. He has better things to do. Greener pastures, I suppose.
Well, good for him.
You know, good for him. But we're excited to have Chris as part of this. And really, two games have been played. We're getting a little bit of a late start here, but it's probably still earlier than a lot of other people that are still watching NCAA lacrosse,
yeah.
As we are as well. Let's just recap real quick. Three games that stood out to you out of the, you know, only six that have been played so far.
Sure. Well, I think the first one that you have to go with is last week's New York-Rochester game. I think that's been, so far this season, the game everyone's kind of been talking about. You know, Rochester last year being as successful as they were, and New York coming into the season as successful as everyone expected them to be.
Sure.
And then the way that first quarter went.
Yeah, absolutely. My pick would be, you know, Boston opening up against Denver, 16-3, and really on the back of two-pointers past Jesse Schwartzman. Jesse Schwartzman's save percentage through two games, under 50%. Shocking or not shocking?
A little bit of both, actually. It's shocking because associated with the name Jesse Schwartzman. It doesn't surprise me if you have a low shooting, low save percentage this early, you know, just getting used to the game action.
Right.
So I think he'll kind of regress to the mean of being a successful goaltender.
Right. One more game that stood out to you.
Well, we can go back to week one, Charlotte-Rochester. You know, again, it's kind of the same sort of vibe from Rochester, what we expected and what we saw. And then Charlotte, you don't really know what you're going to expect because, you know, 2 years ago, super successful, well, fairly successful, got very far. And then last year, not quite as successful. And, you know, the last minute of the game, who knows how it's going to end.
Well, let's talk about Charlotte. So they make a bunch of trades. They trade away Ryan Young to the Cannons. They trade Matt Danowski to Chesapeake. And all of a sudden, you know, they hand the keys over to second-year player Justin Moore behind the cage. Sawyer's bombing the ball away. Chanchuk's on pop to start the season. I mean, you know, we're going to talk about this a lot. I think this is a theme that's going to come up a lot early in the MLL. Who scores the goals? I mean, it's a superstar goal-scoring league. Who is going to score for Charlotte?
Right. Yeah, they have a kind of similar problem that some other teams you would think are having. You kind of would assume that Denver would have that problem. They're not because they've been successful with
Bocklets.
Some people. Right. They found another Bocklet, so Bocklets. That's working out well for them. And so, yeah, Charlotte's question coming into next week, who's going to be their goal scorer? Because Justin Ward is a talented quarterback, but, you know, you need receivers if you're a talented quarterback.
Right. I mean, and it's not like Sawyer can't score, but he can't do it all by himself. I mean, he really put the team on his back, scored three goals in the second half to get them back into that Rochester game that – I mean, that game-tying goal, let's talk about that game-tying goal, because you brought that game up. But, Listen, it's professional lacrosse, okay? I know it's early. I know it's day one. You got to know who your man up is and who your man down is.
Right.
And getting a penalty called with 4.5 seconds left, heat of the moment, you could call it stupid, but you could also call it, you know, aggressive defense, right? Aggressive defense, like, I can't let you score. We can't lose this game. We can't let you tie this game. We worked so hard for this. Our goalie put us, you know, put the whole team on the shoulders to get us here. And then it happens. And then, you know, guys are running off. Guys are running on. Whistle blows. Jeremy Boltus.
Just naked.
Naked like a newborn baby sitting on the crease. Boom. Game tied. OT. And who'd they call?
Well, sending in the wolf.
That's all you had to say. Just sending in the wolf. I wouldn't say that's one of the better games, but it's very telling
right.
that a bunch of these games have been, you know, close. And that's probably a lot of adjustment from these teams to get into, you know, the rhythm of early season MLL, which a lot of people are like, oh, early season MLL, there's no MLL, there's no NLL guys, no indoor guys, no college guys, like, why are we watching it? College is still going on. College is great. And college is great. Let's not be like, I hate college.
No, it's
I
awesome.
I like college lacrosse. It's great.
Sure.
I cover that too. But I love me some MLL.
Yeah.
And people are still going to score goals, and they're still going to have spectacular highlights and also great defense, great goalies. You know, looking at the teams and how they're shaking out, we're only two weeks in.
Right.
Two games in. Some teams have only played one game.
Right.
You know, we've had two teams with bye weeks already, which, you know, Sunday games.
Yeah, week one byes for two teams.
Yeah, trumpet sound. You know, what are you going to do? How would you rank the teams? Do you want to go lowest to worst to best, or where you want to start?
Let's go worst to best.
Worst to best. Who you got at 8?
You know, it is tough to do it because they've only played one game, so small sample size, but I have to start with Charlotte. Yeah, I feel bad about it.
Yeah,
but I mean, somebody's got to be 8. So starting with
somebody's got to be 8. And but hey, listen, they have that D-mid guy coming.
So there you go.
So they got that working for them,
which is nice.
Right. 7.
7. I'm going to Florida.
But they have the legend.
They
and,
do,
and
have the
Terminator.
Legend. They do have the legend and the Terminator, and that's going to work out very well for them. But then what? Here's what I noticed. Yeah, that's the
then picture. What?
Here's my note during that game. If your goalie has scored as many goals as your offensive middies, there's going to be a problem.
He said it. I didn't say it. He did. He did. I think at 6, and this is surprising because they're 0-2, I would have Ohio at 6. And if anybody's read my columns going into the season and starting the season and going into week 3, you would know that the only thing I like about Ohio is their offense. But this is the MLO. We got shot clocks.
Right.
The offense is a higher priority than, you know, in the MLO than it really is anywhere else in any form of lacrosse, except maybe box. But what's that? Who does that?
I've heard of it, but
it's weird. It's like Canadian or something. So I would definitely put Ohio higher than Florida and Charlotte because I know Ohio can score.
Right.
And lots of guys on the team can score. I mean, you could go 1 through 4, and that's like 4 guys that you could start any team with, you know?
Sure.
And 5 and 6, I mean, we really don't know who that third sticking guy is going to be. We don't know who that's going to be on attack because who knows where Logan Schuss is, you know?
Yeah, no idea. He's in the Canadian wilderness or he's on a boat or something.
But he's on a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's not there, so it's disappointing for them, and it doesn't sound like he's going to be there, so can't really count on it,
yeah.
You know. They have Zach Palmer there right now. You know, did pretty well. He just started, you know, so did pretty well, but I'm sure that position is still open if somebody else wants to come and take
right.
it.
Right. And, you know, Zach Palmer, not a bad player, but pretty much like this piece of paper, one-dimensional. 5.
You know what's interesting? I had Ohio at 5.
Okay.
But the next team to mention is Rochester.
Right. What would put Ohio above Rochester for you?
Ohio above Rochester because of that offense that we were talking about,
right.
You know? And Rochester has, you know, obviously some serious offensive weapons. But, and you know, maybe it was just the fact that they didn't have the ball for like 20 minutes to start off the game that's, you know, going to affect their bottom line numbers.
Yeah.
So maybe next week, maybe not next week because they play the Lizards again.
Yeah.
But maybe the week after that.
Tough matchup.
Right.
Hey. Hey.
Who knows?
Week 4.
Hey, maybe next week against the Lizards. Who knows?
Right.
But they do have some weapons. But Ohio, like you said, just a much larger group right now getting it done.
Sure.
So.
Who do you got in the playoff picture after 2 games?
Well,
listen, let's talk about playoffs after 2 games because the league runs promos for championship weekend from week 1.
That's right.
So it's not weird.
Get your tickets, folks.
Get your tickets.
Hurry.
Kennesaw, Georgia.
Be there.
Do it. Who you got it for?
Let's see. Coming in at 4, the Boston Cannons.
Right.
Yeah. I have
also my 4.
Okay. All right. An impressive debut. I didn't see it coming. I'll say no one saw it coming.
Okay. All right.
Come on. I can say I definitely didn't see it coming. I thought they were going to be in a world of trouble to start this season.
Yeah.
And they found a way. They had guys to contribute, and Max Seabold was playing out of his mind basically anywhere on the field he wanted to play.
Yeah.
So that's what
happened. Max Seabold killed a guy in that game. I don't know if you guys watched
it.
He hit a guy so hard that I heard it in the press box, and there was panes of windows and lots of empty seats underneath me because the crowd was over here, but could hear the crack of the helmet through the window. It was amazing. I loved it.
It's a shame.
I love me some vintage Max Seabold. Welcome back. I mean, not that you were gone, but you know, Tuck seems to be letting him do whatever he wants. He's out there for D-mid shifts. He's out there. He ran on the wing. He was bombing away. He inverted.
Right.
He was shooting. He was dodging it. He does this move, and this is, I'm going to call this the Max Seabold move, where he'll run hard to one hand and see the double and keep running into the double full speed so he hits the double with his body and then rolls back for a shot. It's insane.
It is insane, and we're going to see that some more this year. I am especially excited about this season's Max Seabold. I was talking to you earlier
about
this. I can't wait for it. He has been so disrespected when it comes to this trade that he
it's
was...
It's not my fault.
No.
It's not my fault.
No.
I kind of did it, but not really.
Here's the thing. We all kind of did it.
Okay. That's fair.
I will apologize a bit because, you know, it was the Rabel trade.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how it went. And Max Seabold was somewhere listening to that, doing push-ups or something.
Yep.
And
in
just
a dark
getting,
room.
Yeah.
Just, like, punching stuff.
Just getting angry.
Awesome.
Just getting angry. So, yeah, this season, all Max Seabold, just all in. Just he's going nuts. I'm telling you right now.
So who you got at three? Who you got three? Let's roll it. Let's
three.
Keep rolling.
Denver Outlaws.
1-1.
Right.
Open the season with a loss. The champs. And we got him at three. I think we need to explain.
That's fair.
Is it the Boston loss, or is it something else?
I think it's a little bit something else. Especially,
okay.
There's a lot of ways that they are successful right now. And granted, they are 1-1. But when you look at them play, you say, okay, Anthony Kelly is handling the faceoff duties very well, getting the wings involved nicely. Matt Bocklet had a tremendous game last week. You know, doing his thing, just grabbing the ball and taking off with it. And the people they have found to kind of, you know, fill in the holes to get them through this time of the year have been successful. So,
yeah.
I think it could work out well for them for a while.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's go with number two. I'm going with Chesapeake at two.
I'm going with Chesapeake as well.
Yep. Why would you pick them at two? I'll tell you why I would do.
Well, I liked Chesapeake last week because just looking at their roster, I felt like, you know, they're obviously missing guys as well. They have the NLL guys who are out. But the people they had been successful in their own rights, you know. Ben Rubior, not necessarily what I've said, okay, I'm going to pencil him in for five, mm-hmm. you know, five goals right away. But he's been successful in the past, in very recent past. You know, they had an off year, but a lot of these guys came back. And, you know, they're still very talented players. You still have Matt Abbott there. You still have Nicky Polanco there who could do a little bit of everything if need be. And then they bring in somebody like Kyle Sweeney. You know, if the chemistry works out, they get some contributions from other guys. I think it's a solid team right now, right?
Right. My only reservation putting them this high is, you know, their best defensive player, Mike Evans, injured last week. Not going to play this week. Right. And they had a bye to start the season. So I think that's a big blow for them. I think they're lucky to be playing Florida again.
Yeah.
And I think that it's going to be another smash show. It's just going to be, you know, four Chesapeake long poles. Where's Kieran Ricardo? I want a piece of Kieran Ricardo. Give me Kieran Ricardo. And then they get a piece of him, and he's just like reforms himself like the T-1000 and goes right back into the net. I mean, I love Kieran Ricardo. This is my thing, and I know we're talking about Chesapeake, but just going back to Florida real quick. He's got to be just not underrated, because I know everyone in the league respects him.
Sure.
But underappreciated, overlooked, however you want to say it. Yeah, he was Rookie of the Year. But is he on the shortlist for MVP for anybody?
And he definitely could be. There's a group of people in the league who I guess we kind of forget how talented they are.
Sure.
Be it, you know, the people they play around, you know, maybe their team's record. And he definitely falls in that situation. You know, you're standing next to Casey Powell, and your team's record isn't, you know, say, top two or three in the league. Maybe people forgot exactly how deadly Kieran McArdle could be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's only one season of tape on him, but the tape's impressive.
Yeah.
Putting up huge points. Number one, obviously, the last team left, the Lizard Stars,
yeah.
The Wizards.
Right. Yeah, so far, they're just New York Wizards.
Yeah. What can you say about them that isn't kind of obvious from their absolute destruction of Rochester last week and, you know, the win previously in week one?
You know, it's tough to think of kind of more positive adjectives to say about them. But I do like what Joe Spolina was saying about them. You know, there's still a lot of work. They didn't put a perfect game out there. They just had one quarter where they were out of their minds insane and just kept scoring and getting the ball back. Mm-hmm. But there's still plenty to be done. You know, they're outscored 9-8, which is what, you know, Joe Spolina brought up, and that's a really good point. The other three quarters, they lost. So they still have a way to go, which is scary.
But that first quarter was 11 goals.
It was kind of gross.
Like, you're gonna let down after you drop an A-bomb on someone. You know, like, you're going to be like, man, let's put the B guys out.
Right.
Sorry for this, because I just met him, like, last month. Where's Mike Stone?
No.
Let's get Mike Stone on the field. Let's get the second-line guys out on the field.
See what
let's
you can
go.
Do.
Hey, Greg got hit in a not-so-great area. We're going to have Understein take all these draws. How's that?
Yeah.
And
you
know what? They still won some.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing.
Yeah, they're still competitive.
You know, we're talking about all these teams. We're ranking these teams. We got New York number one. We got Charlotte 8. Let's talk about how these teams are going to change in a couple weeks. And not just from NLL, which is what everyone assumes, but NCAA as well. Which team benefits the most from the college kids coming into the team right away?
Let's see here. Well, college kids coming in right away, it's Florida Launch.
Absolutely.
It's just
1,000%.
Yeah. It would be ideal if maybe they had some sort of defensive weapon. I can't think of a big name defensive guy coming to them through the college ranks, but they're just loaded with offensive players. You know, where you start, I guess you start with Lyle Thompson.
Where else would you start?
That might work out.
He might be good.
Yeah, keep an eye out for Lyle Thompson.
Have you heard of him?
I've heard of him. Yeah. Haven't seen him. I hear good things though.
He's real good.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, the other guys are pretty decent as well.
Yeah.
You got Chad Tutton.
Sure. Big lefty.
Yep. Kevin Rice.
Love me some free Kevin Rice.
We're big fans of Kevin Rice around here.
Yes.
Who else are we talking about?
Connor Buzik.
Yes.
Busick.
There we go.
Busick. I keep saying Buzik. I can't stop. I'm sorry. It just sounds cooler.
That's okay.
Sorry, man. It's your name. Busick. I'll say it right. Really, he's prototypical MLL, though. And he went number two. You know, he's really an excellent, excellent prototypical dodge shoot midfielder, and that's the kind of guy that, I mean, really, Florida has Stephen Brooks, but, you know, Stephen Brooks is a lefty. You know, Busick is a righty. He can come over the top and fire balls, and, I mean, he plays for Cornell. That's basically all they ask him to do.
Yeah.
Just take your guy and try to create something. And on Florida, he's going to have guys that can pass him the ball. He might get a step down or two this year, and I think that's going to be scary.
Sure.
Personally.
And, you know, I just remember they have Joe LoCascio from Maryland coming in,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely.
They're going to have, like, midfield lines that can just be guys cranking from up top, you know, which is something they really need down there.
Right. Do you think Lyle's going to be that third guy to play with Casey and Kieran and have, you know, Kieran be the guy that, he's not the third guy, but he's the guy that's going to initiate and go create his own shot? Casey and Lyle kind of are very, probably two of the best players in lacrosse right now at creating for other people,
right,
as well as themselves, but primarily, you know, for other people. And Kevin Rice is the same way. I mean, that's just scary. I mean, the problem is, you know, like you said, where's the help on the other side? You know,
right.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Okay. That's called a tease. Let's
leave you hanging for
that. We call that.
Yeah.
Any other teams that jump out at you for being much improved or maybe like sneakily improved from their college draft picks coming in?
Well, you know, Florida is obviously the biggest one. And then you have some teams with a few names who could, you know, I guess improve is relative. You look at the Lizards. They do have some significant contributors coming in. The question is, will it really help them that much? Like, can you crack the lineup right now if you're a college kid?
No. No. I'm gonna throw a team at you that's pretty surprising. And, okay. And these picks are, they had two high first round picks, and that's Boston. You
it's
know,
true.
Ryan Tucker coming in. You got the big cannon, Glesner, coming in. Yeah. Love Glesner. Kind of up and down season, but seeing him in person, just long strides. You can tell he's a midi that used to play attack,
right?
Or an attackman that used to play midi. He doesn't really know what he is now, and that's actually okay in the MLL. You don't need to have a from the box dodge set skill set,
right?
To succeed, I think as long as you can create and bomb. And let me tell you something, this guy shoots the lights out and fires that ball. He's really an excellent shooter, and he's going to help Boston's spacing, which is already more improved than they've ever had, because Boston, and you know, this is me watching Boston growing up, watching Boston even, covering the league for so long, they've always relied on their stars. And actually, speaking of which, you know, Ryan Boyle is going to be the first MLL player to have his, there you go, he's a Ryan Boyle fan.
Yeah.
Ryan Boyle is going to be the first MLL player to have his number retired by the Cannons. How do you feel about that?
I feel like it's a good choice. You know, I was unaware. I hadn't even thought about it. I was unaware that nobody has had a jersey retired in the MLL.
Yeah. Well, Casey's still playing.
Right. And which
Until
team?
Junior.
And which team is going to retire Casey's jersey? Like all of them, I think.
They're going to do one of those things where, like, the parents of like a two college kids that play against each other cut the jersey in half and then, like, sew the middle.
It's going to be like eight patches.
And it's going to be like a bunch of patches. He's got, like, different Rochester ones for, like, the different times he played for them.
Right. Long Island Lizard, Rochester.
Nationals.
Yeah.
Bay we don't Hawks even know what our color scheme is. They're, yeah. like, purple, and then they're orange, and then they're not around. You know, what are you going to do? Shifting gears.
Sure.
Let's go indoor guys. NLL. What team, and, you know, there's a couple that come to mind. So pick one. One team that really comes to mind that is going to be so much better when their indoor guys come back.
I like Chesapeake when their indoor guys come back.
Yeah,
I know.
Okay.
There were a couple other teams I thought of, but I kind of put them aside, and I'm going to go with Chesapeake. We'll see what happens. I want to see Drew Westervelt playing on a wing on an attack line. Is Matt Donowski going to stay down on attack in that situation, go back up to midfield? I mean, look, if you have Drew Westervelt on the field, that's going to help your team
out
a lot.
You just feed him the ball and watch
right.
him pump
rip
quarters into the machine.
No angle whatsoever. Yeah. Yes, I mean, you get Westervelt back, and they'll get some defensive help as well. They'll have McGill back in there as well. And it's going to change the composition of their team.
You're forgetting the biggest guy.
I know I'm forgetting the biggest guy.
No, tell me. You take right. it. He hates me anyway. You take it.
I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Oh, my God. Joe Walters.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Walters. My boy.
Apologies.
Love him.
Joe Walters hates me now as well.
Oh man.
I'm sorry, Joe Walters.
Sorry, Joe.
Sorry, I forgot your name,
You
sir.
Are a good lacrosse player.
You are a superstar lacrosse
you
player.
You go left all the time. How do teams not know that you can just go left?
They just can't
Why?
Stop it.
Why? Sorry, I got emotional. He literally has one move, and it works, and I love it.
You just can't stop it.
I love it, and I hate it so much.
And he will score or feed equally.
He's going to be great on this team as a feeder. I mean, you know, the ball's not going to die in anyone's stick except Matt Donowski's. And if Matt Donowski's just playing Omid, that's fine.
Yeah.
Let it die in his stick five times a game. That's fine. That's cool. The ball is always going to be live in Joe Walters' stick. And that's why he's an excellent player. That's why he's averaging crazy points. I mean, crazy points. Like, he played nine games and he led the Bayhawks in scoring.
Right.
And it wasn't close. No. I mean, he really changes the game for them. You know, Cotto loves him, plays him as much as he can, plays him out of the box. I think this is my prediction for him. I think he'll play some games on the wing this year and, you know, draw the third pole and try to move Rubior out. I mean, you know, one of the things we didn't talk about earlier when we mentioned Ben Rubior, the garbage man assassin, just he's not really creating too much. You know, he's catching and making the most of his opportunities.
Right.
He's shooting from all kinds of distances. His release is so deceptive. And it's not that he shoots like 100 miles an hour. He's just deceptive with his release, scores goals in the MLL, goalies can't figure him out. I didn't peg him to have a ton of points early on in the season, but really, he's kind of the guy that Chesapeake leans on traditionally throughout, you know, his time in the league since he's been on the Bayhawks. He's been one of the guys that they go to.
Right.
And he really paid off in the first game against Florida with 5 goals.
Yeah. Ben Rubio is kind of like, he's like checkmate, you know. By the time the ball gets to him, it's over. You know, he's off ball, but he's not just crease off ball.
Right.
And so by the time he catches it, that's a point.
He's got great rope from pretty much everywhere.
And you know what? We forgot another NLL Chesapeake
guy. Who?
Kevin Crowley. So if Joe Walters was mad.
No, Kevin Crowley's cool because Kevin Crowley's Canadian and Canadians don't get mad.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what I heard.
That's right.
That's what I heard.
No, that's right.
We're sorry, yeah. Kevin.
Sorry.
Yeah, he's pretty good, too.
He's pretty good,
We'll get him around for a few more games.
He's the best player in lacrosse that wears the number 21. And he's not going to wear it because Jeff Reynolds is wearing it.
So what is he going to wear?
I don't know. I think they should fight for it.
It's reasonable.
Yeah. And that's my solution to pretty much everything, is just, like, fight to the death. You know, we mentioned one team.
Yep.
The other two glaring ones, and I'm going to talk about these two teams.
Sure.
Rochester and Denver.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, Denver killed the draft, has the best player in the league in John Grant Jr. joining the team, has a bunch of other players that can come in, Cam Holding. I don't believe, they probably still have Curtis Dixon's rights. Who doesn't have his rights?
Like, send him to Florida.
Did they? Did they really?
Yeah.
He's not going to play.
He's not going to play Florida.
No. He's going to play up
north. He found out on Twitter that they sent him to Florida. So
we don't feel bad.
No.
It's not like they update the transactions page on pointstreak.com, do you? It's fine.
Yeah,
I'm not there.
No.
It's
Why would you be?
It's fine. That team's going to be back to full strength.
Right.
I think Denver's only weakness, we didn't really address this earlier when we talked about them, defense is slow, man. Defense is slow. Slow to go, slow to move. You know, guys with knee braces all over the place. You know, their LSM is like their biggest guy on the team. Mike Simon, I mean, he's a beast, but he's not the fastest guy on the team. You know, I think Dylan Roy is an amazing defenseman and will fill a lot of the void that they lost by Lee Zink retiring. But, you know, I think, you know, talking about teams that might need to make some moves, they might need to make a move. I don't think Carson Cannon from Denver is the other guy they picked up in the draft. I don't think he's going to fill any holes at all. I think he's exactly the same as all the guys they have.
Right.
They really need a dynamic guy. I mean, you know, Matt Bocklet's fleet of foot, I would say. But he's the only pole that really can match feet with anybody on that team, and I think that's going to be a problem going forward unless they address it.
Yeah, no, I think you're definitely right. Denver seems to have had a recent sort of history of bringing in long sticks to try to, I don't know what they're going to try and do with them, but, you know, Buckley kind of has that position locked down. But, you know, they're bringing in, say, like Roger Ferguson.
Well, they're bringing guys to challenge him, right? You don't think they're bringing guys to challenge him?
Maybe that's all it is. Maybe they just, you know, bring somebody in, show there's a little heat on him. And, I mean, he keeps the position, keeps battling everybody else away. You know, they'll bring in like a Matt Harris. Maybe he'll suit up, maybe not. But the defensive core, yeah, you're right. They might need to do something else. You know, we'll see Ken Clausen started the last game.
Yep.
You know, we'll see if that identity is going to change or not.
Sure.
A couple weeks, he knows.
Yeah. Rochester is the other team that is going to really change when they get all their indoor guys back. Which one of those guys do you think is going to make the biggest impact?
You know, I think, off the top of my head, I'm going to say Joel White can make the biggest impact on their team. He's one of those guys who takes care of so many problems. There's so many things you don't have to worry about if you have a Joel White on the field, you know? And, you know, like the transition game's going to pick up. You know, the clearing game's going to pick up. Offense and defense are both going to step up a little bit.
Right.
So, yeah, I think him. Were you thinking maybe an offensive player for him?
You know, I really love what Mark Cockerton did last year in limited time and limited space and limited touches. I really want to see what he can do. Obviously, Jordan McIntosh. Huge dodging threat from the wing, running him out of the box, spelling guys at attack. I think he can really do some damage, really just get inside and create, which is, you know, they have guys that run downhill, midfielders that can open teams up, but those guys haven't been shooting well. I mean, Dave Lawson has one of the worst shooting percentages through two games of anyone in the league, which is a great segue into our first segment. It's our first try. Be gentle. It's called Hot Take, Warm Take. How this is going to work, I'm going to make a hot take. We're going to do talking head kind of podcast action here.
Let's do it.
My hot take, my first hot take.
Okay.
RP3 can't shoot. Talk me down.
Okay. I'm going to talk you down for this one.
Okay.
Because, yes, you might think that he is having a shooting problem.
I do.
Perhaps, I'm going to offer a theory here, perhaps the shooting percentage looks worse than it actually is because the ball is in his stick last on failed possessions. And if he has the ball with, say, 6 seconds left, he's going to result in taking a bad shot. Perhaps.
Wow. You went Zach Lowe on me. You just Grantland me. We're ripping off Grantland with this podcast. And you
thanks, fellas.
Went Grantland on me. You picked the best guy, the best analysis, and just got sunned on my own podcast.
Truth be told, I don't know if it's true, but I feel good about it.
You know, I think there's something to that, to a certain extent. Numbers kind of back up my argument. He has taken more shots than anyone in the league.
Yeah.
And he has hit the cage 18 times out of 24 shots. How many goals do you think he has?
Let's see, 18 times on the cage. 9 seems good, right?
You think he has 9 goals?
No, I was just doing the math.
No, how many goals do you think he has? Come on, I got it on the screen right now.
Let's say 4 goals.
3.
3 goals.
And not great.
Remind me of how many shots that was?
24.
Okay. Yeah.
Not great.
Yeah, that's not great.
Not great.
No.
Not great. Give me yours.
Okay. Let's see.
Hot take.
Hot take for you. All right, one of these two teams is going to have to make a crazy panic trade to secure the face-off position.
Okay.
The Ohio Machine or the Rochester Rattlers? Question for you, who's going to make that trade first?
First?
Yes.
Because I do think they're both going to make a trade.
Okay, they're both doing something. Who has to do it first?
I think whoever can get a hold of Chris Eck, wherever he is, he's going to make that trade.
Where is Chris?
He's on an island. I texted him the other day. He's hanging out. He's good. He doesn't, you know, check his Instagram feed.
I will.
He went to Korea. It was hilarious. Oh. I enjoyed it. I think just based on their history, I don't think Rochester's going to make any moves right now. I think if they do, it'll be very small. Maybe pick up a practice squad guy and just keep throwing practice squad guys until Ordo's back. I think they love Ordo, but I mean, Ordo is on PUP, and we don't know when he's coming back. I don't want to disclose any information I'm not supposed to have, because I do have some of that, but I don't know when he's coming back. I think Ohio, you know, Ohio made some splashes, made an entire defense out of LSMs, not really working out for them right now.
Right.
But the upside of that is that we have like 3 or 4 LSMs. Maybe we can package them with a pick, you know, get a face-off guy that's had some time in the league. You know, a guy like Jerry Raganese is out there probably backing up the Beast.
Sure.
You know, you don't really want to upset the apple cart in New York this early, but, you know, you could go after someone like that. You could, you know, maybe try and coax Timmy Fallon out of retirement, take some draws.
Get him back out there.
I think, you know, it's funny. I know Charlotte loves Fowler. But, man, imagine if someone made a play for Fowler. And Charlotte was just like, you know what? And not that there's tanking in the MLO. I'm not saying that. But if Charlotte's just like, God, we're not going to win a lot of games, man. And maybe we can get somebody good. And they have no one that can score. It kind of doesn't – I mean, yes, you need the ball, but there's a shot clock. You're going to get the ball back.
Right.
Unless they score every time,
right.
Which, you know, the Lizards did. So bad argument.
Okay.
But – you know, they're going to need to make a move just based on their draft. And, you know, they got Sankey coming. We forgot that earlier. Sorry.
Yeah, apologies, you know, Joey Sankey.
Sankey.
Very good.
He's one of my people under 5'9". So, you know, we root for those guys.
Yeah. I mean, and Charlotte, they do have some other face-off guys. You know, they have a guy coming in from college. They addressed it through the draft and supplemental.
Right.
I mean, we'll see if, you know, if they're going to be on the field. But like you said, if they do move Fowler, and who knows if they will.
Right.
But if they do, they might have somebody.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin Massa, man, it's funny. I actually saw Albany play Bryant this year, and Kevin Massa leaves his stick on the field when everyone goes in for locker room warm-ups and just leaves it there because he doesn't want it to leave the field. It's awesome. And he comes back, and the stick looks like it was, like, it's been through, like, some sort of, war time genocide. Like, it's destroyed. The stick looks like you shouldn't even be able to pick up dirt with it, and he's winning face-offs with it, picking up GBs, getting passes out. I think that's an undervalued guy. That's an undervalued guy, man. He's excellent.
Yeah.
And if he is as excellent as he is, then... And I'm going to say this, too. Fowler is not the same Fowler from last year. He's much better. His technique, yes. Even. You can tell working in the offseason has really paid off for him. So I think he might be a target. A couple other guys might be targets. You know, we mentioned Eck. But I think, you know, in answer to your long answer to your question of the hot take, I think Ohio pulls the trigger. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Is Brett Queener going to kill one of his defensemen this year?
Do you mean, is he going to kill one, as in, like, is, like, literally one, or is there, like, an over-under here?
No.
At least one?
Like, literally assault someone on the field.
Yes. At least one. I thought you meant one as opposed to three or two or something like that.
Well, I was with the hot take, and you went hotter. So how many people is Brett Queener going to put in a body bag that play long pole for the Florida Launch this year?
Over-under is at 1.5.
Okay.
Somebody's going to go.
Fair.
Somebody is going to go. Poor Brett Queener. He had a sensational game. I mean, he was making solid saves left and right. And then something goes wrong. Somebody just gets wide open in the slot. And you can just see it. Because, you know, they actually show this during the game. They show Brett Queener before the game starts. And he's, you know, he's always dancing and having a good time.
Yeah. And having a good time until the first goal goes in.
Yeah, and that vibe just goes right out the window.
Nope.
So angry.
See ya.
So, yeah, no, somebody's definitely getting, yeah, killed. I was going to say maybe
okay.
just like.
Maimed?
Yeah, I was going to say like.
Maimed.
Bane snapped across the knee.
Pantsed. Something like that.
Some drop kicked. Somebody's going to be hurt.
Brett Queener, second in the league after one game in save percentage, 67.6. Impressive? I think so.
I think so as well. Yeah.
I think so.
Nice work.
Give me your next one.
Let's see here. Okay, next one for you. Offensive weapon.
Yes.
Peter Baum is the deadliest offensive weapon in the league right this second.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Expound?
Yes, please.
He is the deadliest in terms of his skill set is really more varied, I think, than a lot of us thought it would be. We all thought he would be a run by me and with an occasional ability to hit the open man. He has been lights out on man up. And the thing about Ohio is Ohio's man up was good last year. It's great this year. It's great this year. And they're missing one of their key outside shooters, spread the field.
Right.
You know, we mentioned earlier, no Logan Schuss. On the team, probably going to be fishing.
Right.
Whatever he does, longshoreman. Is it longshoreman?
That's what they say.
All right, cool. I don't want to get it wrong. Sorry. We wish that you play. So I think not just because he will not always draw the pole. You know, Schreiber is almost equal with him with points. I mean, Schreiber is super underrated and helps spread the field a lot. I mean, I think if Schreiber played in that semifinal against Rochester, Ohio would have had a great chance to win the game. Just an absolutely lights-out chance to win that game. So I think I'm not saying he's bad. He's probably top three.
Okay.
I'm going to go with top
That's
three.
That's fair.
I actually think one of the best offensive weapons and he's not really producing in terms of points so far, is on the machine already, and it's Marcus Holman. I love me some Marcus Holman. Marcus Holman is so not underrated because we talked about that with McCardle. Marcus Holman is so dynamic and versatile that, you know, he makes other people. He can just score whenever he wants. If he doesn't draw the one pole, you know, that doesn't free Stamick up.
Right.
You know, if he doesn't draw the one pole, someone shuts down Stamick and the ball dies. doesn't even get to him probably. You know, Holman, you can't shut Holman off. You can't hold him from GLE. He's an excellent shooter if he gets above, if he creeps above the line and gets shots off. I think he's one of the most, if not the most, dynamic young player in the league, period, bar none. Love his game. Love Baum, too. I'd put Baum, too, on that list. And Schreiber is actually a really close three. Schreiber is super, super productive so far, and I think he's only going to get better as he keeps drawing the second short stick because teams are still scared of Kyle Harrison.
Absolutely.
He looks, listen, and this isn't a knock on him because he's clearly injured, right? He's clearly hurt. I mean, every Instagram photo is like him treating his ankle, so he doesn't have that separation that he had last year. But it might come. Right? He could play himself into that. But teams are still sending the slide on him. He scored on a triple last week. He got tripled and he scored.
Getting dragged to the ground.
To the ground. I mean, really just, you know, not to totally blow up your point, but 1 and 2, I think the real answer is no, but, you know, great question.
Well, thank you, sir.
I think moving through, we're going into week 3. You know, we got 3 undefeated teams. We got New York, Chesapeake, and Boston. You got Boston coming back for their second game. They're going to play Charlotte. I got Boston that game.
Boston as well.
This is kind of a cheat because we already did our picks, and we all picked the same people because it just seems obvious to us. Chesapeake, rematch with Florida. Unless Queener scores more than one goal.
Which,
by the way, no, I'm going to take that back. 3 goals. If he gets a Hattie, Florida wins. If anything else happens,
just in case that doesn't.
Anything else happens, loss. I'm just putting it out there. And it's funny because like you talk to these teams, and you talk to coaches and GMs of these teams, and it's like, oh, how do you have us 8th? You're hating on us. It's like, no, man. I just don't see it. I'm giving my opinion. I really don't see it, and I don't see it from Charlotte or Florida or really. I mean, New York's playing Rochester again too, man.
Yeah.
How not scared, because players aren't scared.
No.
How concerned is that Rochester defense going against New York? And they're going to have Lucasio back this week, so that's good.
That is good news.
That's good. But how concerned? Scale 1 to 10. 10 being like, you know, doomsday.
Sure.
1 being like, there's a bug on the table.
Okay. Rochester's defense is 7.5 to 8 scared.
Okay.
I feel like they can't get to a 9 or 10.
Not scared, concerned.
Yes, that's what I meant. They're not scared. They're concerned.
Yeah.
Having John Galloway back there, I feel like they probably will never get to a 10 on the level of concern.
That's fair.
You know, he should be able to right that ship to the best of, you know, goalie's abilities. They're going to have some other concerns. Are they going to have to play defense for the entire game? And, you know, like, who's going to do the faceoff work for them this week? Are they going to bring, you know, Rand back out? I heard they're going to have a new plan or a new weapon or something. Obviously, you know, Coach Shedan isn't divulging exactly what
off
he has
record.
Lined up. Right. Something's going to happen. You know, maybe he knows a guy. I don't know. I'll be as surprised as you guys will.
Let me tell you something. If anybody in the league knows a guy, it's Tim Sudan. You know what I mean? That's why I kept correcting you, saying scared. I don't want Tim Sudan. He already has my phone number. Mm-hmm. Like, I really don't need him to, like, be more upset with me.
Right.
And he already is.
So I'm just making enemies, like, this whole time, right?
You know, that's my fault.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the bullet on that.
I appreciate
that. 1,000% my influence. He's much more positive than I am. If you haven't read his stuff, I'm trying. We're working through it, but, you know, we're trying to bring you the best MLL content out there. We're going to bring this to a close.
All right.
Obviously, we have New York winning that game. Right?
We do have New York winning.
Okay. Just cap on it.
Right.
Thanks for coming out, checking out the first MLL Inside Lacrosse podcast. I'm Kyle Devitt. Follow me on Twitter, @TheKyleDevitt. He's Chris Rosenthal. What's your handle?
ChrisRosie22.
And we will see you... couple weeks.